If you have your Bibles, then please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 6. Listen now to the Word of God. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. This is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I'll go into today's message titled Different But Same. Let's pray before we go into today's word. Lord, in our times, in this generation, with what's going on around us, with the lives that you've placed us in, the communities, the environment that we find ourselves in, oftentimes it's difficult to know how to live, what we're supposed to do, what the right words are, what the right way of thinking is, what the right actions are. Lord, we can see that times are changing. We can see some of the darkness around us. We can see some of the ills and some of the struggles and the pains of this world. We see some of the effects of evil. We can tangibly see some of the effects of sin. But Lord, with brokenness around us, Lord, we cling to your word. We cling to what you teach us, what you reveal to us. And Lord, as your church, as your people, we want to represent you well. We want to do the right things in your eyes. We want to live the right sort of life in what you call it, in by what you call right. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to turn to your word, to submit to your word, that we would be courageous enough, bold enough, strong enough to make adjustments in our lives so that it better suits the word that you give to us, the teachings that you give to us, the way that you ask us to live, we want to be able to live it. So Lord, instead of being stubborn, instead of being set in our ways, instead of fighting you, over our perspective and what we think is right. Lord, help us to be like clay in your hands and may you mold us, may you shape us into whatever you see fit to serve your kingdom and to serve your people. Lord, we thank you, God. We trust in the work that you're doing in us. May you be with us as I speak and as the congregation listens. May your presence be heavy upon us and may we really gain some direction and insight into this world. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is going to be part one in a two-part series that has to do with unity in diversity. And it's something that I was very intrigued by in my Bible reading this week as I'm just going through the book of Corinthians, learning and trying to gain some insights about early churches, about some of the struggles that people faced, some of the struggles that maybe we continue to face in churches and in congregations today. And one of the things that kind of becomes central in the book of Corinthians is this idea of gifts, the idea of unity, the idea of the church coming together to use different gifts that God has given to them for the good of the kingdom of God, for the good of people around them, to serve the church, to serve people who are in need, to serve the broken, to bring light to those who are lost. And it ended up being really good for me just personally this week because in my youth group Bible study meetings, we've been working on trying to identify some of the gifts and some of the talents and some of the things that God has blessed our youth group students with, trying to get them to see that they're needed in the body of Christ with some of the talents and gifts that God has placed in them that I might not have, that teachers might not have, that their other fellow students might not have, coming together in that diversity for a common purpose, for a common good, using those things for one purpose, to really gain insight into who we are so that we can become more useful for God's kingdom, so that we can represent his kingdom well. So that's been one of the themes that we've been working on in the youth group services, in the youth group Bible study. It's been a very intriguing time. It's funny because a lot of the youth group kids, they'll say things like, oh, I didn't know that about myself. You know, I didn't know that about myself. I've always thought that I was this way. My parents always told me that I was this way. But when they kind of can go step by step into some of the gifts, some of the talents that God has placed inside of them, it becomes kind of an amazing thing. And we look at it and we go, look at the multifaceted nature of our youth group, of just this small, you know, congregation, this small gathering of people. And look at what we can do together because God has equipped us with different gifts for one purpose. And I think that's going to be kind of the theme of what this passage, what this sermon is about, and what the sermon for next week is about as well. That we are gifted in unique ways, in different ways, that we are intentionally made in diverse ways, that there are distinctions and differences between us, because when we come together and form the body of Christ and we work towards one purpose, one goal, that ends up being something that's a great strength to the body of Christ. It's not something that's very difficult or frustrating, but it's something that ends up being very helpful, very productive. If you know me personally, and just the person that I am outside of, you know, ministry context, outside of being gifted for certain things through the Spirit of God, just my natural state, my normal state, just who I am, I'm not great at working with people. I'm not great at listening to others. I'm a very stubborn person. I'm described as very strong-headed. I'm opinionated in many ways. And when people are different from me, I have a hard time working with them because I have a hard time understanding their thought process. I have a hard time understanding where they're coming from. And sometimes, because of my stubbornness, I have an unwillingness to see their position. And so I always think back on my years in Binghamton University when I was an economics major and I was studying, you know, I can't really say very hard, but I was, you know, studying. And in economics, there are a lot of things that require group work. You have to do market analysis, group projects, and all these things. Like, it's one of the things that are core to the curriculum, having to work in a team, you know, having to work together with other people. And I hated that aspect of academics. I hated that the most. I think it was one of the things that I struggled with the most through my college years, having to work in a group and having to understand people's perspectives. And having to figure out something that we can kind of come to an agreement together on to present as something that represents all of us. And I always felt like I could represent my viewpoint well. I could do what I wanted. You know, I can state my beliefs. I can state my analysis. But having to accept someone else's thought, you know, having to take something that's different from my own viewpoint and then to be associated with it, I had a very hard time. And so one of my friends, her name is Donna, and she was in one of my economics classes, and we were in a group together, and we were friends. You know, we were pretty good friends before that, but we were in a group together, and we fought so much through that experience. We fought so much through that group project because we just couldn't come to an agreement. And I remember saying to her, you know, I wish you thought more like me. And she was like, I wish you thought more like me. And from that point on, even though we're friends and even though we had background together, we were like, okay, you work on your project, you work on your side, and then I'm going to work on my side. And let's not intersect. Let's not get in each other's way. You just do your part, I'll do my part. And of course, we did do it that way. And the feedback that we got from our professor was, the analysis is good, the work is good, the research is good, the paper is well written, but why is it so fragmented? Why is it so disjointed? Why can't you come to conclusions that seem consistent throughout your paper? And of course we knew the answer. We knew what we had done, and we discussed it after, and it was kind of the thing that made us not get a great grade on that project. Oftentimes, disjointedness and brokenness, when people are not willing to work together, is very obvious. It's easy to see. In fact, as humans, by human nature, we're very good at spotting differences. We're very good at seeing things that are different about us. If there's, you know, anything to be said about this current climate, particularly in politics, maybe, you know, just in general, I think there's a highlight on differences. There's a highlight on things that are not the same about people. You know, I think a lot of times, I don't know if it's fair to necessarily blame the current administration that's in office in the government, but perhaps as humans, in human nature, and perhaps because of some of the brokenness inside of us, we're very quick to be able to identify, to be able to articulate some of the differences that exist between people groups, sometimes even just as individuals, the first thing that you'll notice are differences. Differences in age, differences in background, differences in ethnicity, skin color, differences in economic standing, difference in educational backgrounds, and differences in career earnings, salaries, you know, positions. It's easy to spot differences. And you know, in some ways, we think that that's a terrible thing. Because more often than not in our society, more often than not in the times today, those differences become something that divides. It creates animosity. It creates gaps between people. It breaks communication. It's something that is used. Differences and diversity are sometimes used for people to go, okay, then you stay over there. I'm going to stay over here. You do what you do. I'm going to do what I do. And in some cases, people are very comfortable with that. People are very happy to do that. That's their normal state. They can be themselves. And so what ends up happening is we tend to want to be around people who are like-minded, who look like us, who talk like us, who come from the same area, who can kind of relate to you in the type of upbringing that you had, some of the thoughts and perspectives that you have on life. And so in the end, we end up just kind of wanting to go towards uniformity, kind of figuring out a way to be around people who think like us, who work like us, who act like us. But God, in all of his wisdom, with all of the wisdom in this world, he created us with so many differences. He created us to be diverse beings. He created us with things that, you know, no two persons are the same. No one has the same features. Even if you're an identical twin, you will be different. Why did God do that? Why would God build churches with such diverse units of people? You know, they struggled with that so much. If you read the Bible, a lot of it has to do with theology and teaching about God, teaching about Jesus Christ, teaching great things about who God is and what Jesus Christ did in this world and Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. But there's so much literature also in the Bible that has just to do with dealing with people in your church, figuring out how to get along. And it's one of those things where when people do analysis on the book of Romans, they go, what are the central themes? And one of the central themes in the book of Romans is not just salvation, justification by faith. It's not those theological terms, but a lot of people will argue one of the central themes of Romans is just how to get along with the person next to you. How do you do worship with people who are so different, so diverse? And one of the things that we need to understand is that that difference, that diversity does exist among us. It doesn't matter if we're a Korean church. It doesn't matter if people are all around the same age, if they're from the same areas, if everybody lives in Westchester. One of the things that we should do and that we have to do is understand and admit and articulate that we are different people, that there is difference. But the thing that we need to do as believers, as people who have been bought by Christ, people who believe that Christ is their Lord and Savior, is we have to switch our perspective on what that difference means, what that diversity brings. We have to celebrate it. We should appreciate it and not use it as a way to demean other people, to belittle other people, to try to get the majority of people to think like you, to be like you, to act like you, and to ostracize people groups or people in your church or maybe even individuals who do not fit that category, who do not fit into that mold. And that's one of the struggles that existed in the early church. If you read a lot of the New Testament, you know, there's always something about that in all of the books that Paul is writing. It's one of the real and practical problems that Paul faced when he was trying to build churches with all these diverse people. And it's not like in a church, you can just say, oh, only certain people are allowed. You know, maybe that is the case sometimes. Maybe that's what we do with our attitudes and sometimes with our words. But that's not what a church is supposed to be about. We're supposed to accept and celebrate the differences in people that of everyone that walks into our doors. And that's something that I think is something that should be celebrated, something that we look at and see as a strength of the church, not something that becomes a division, something that divides, something that breaks and tears down, but something that we can really honor God with. I am different from you. You are different from me. But because of who God is, because of what he has done in our lives, because of the way that he's working in this world, we can be different, but we can still be the same. We can be different in our backgrounds. We can be different in our ways of thinking. We can be different in age group, in economic, in our economic statuses. We can have different backgrounds, and we can have different perspectives on life. But when we come together, we can still have the same goal, the same purposes. We can still be united despite our diversity. It's one of the things that I experienced firsthand when I was sent on a project in seminary. And it was one of those projects where they were trying to have people appreciate difference and diversity in worship. And so I was tasked in my project to go to a church of a completely different ethnic background from what I'm used to, what I've grown up in. And so, you know, we were going around class, and I had a classmate and a friend named Victor. And he was like, oh, you know, you guys should come to my church. I go to a predominantly African-American church, so you guys should come. So we planned it out. I partnered with a guy named Sean Guerin, and Sean Guerin is very much white, and he's very much not the same as me. When we stand next to each other, just about every single thing that could be different is different. And that's maybe why we get along. But Sean Guerin and I, we went to our friend Victor's church. And I think in terms of difference, in terms of diversity, if you put the three of us together, we are about the most different that people could be. You know, Victor is like 6'4". He's an African-American male. And he's much older than Sean and I. And I'm, you know, I won't state my height, but I'm a shorter Asian guy who's much younger. And for some reason, it was just so funny to us that day that we were gathered together in this church. And it was one of the most eye-opening experiences for me to be able to sit in a church, and we stood out so badly. It was kind of humorous. And at some point, we were kind of uncomfortable. And Sean and I were just whispering to ourselves, like, I hope we can just get through this service quietly. And just we're just going to write down our notes, how we felt. And then we can kind of go on with this project. And while we were discussing that, they put our face up on the PowerPoint in front of the whole church. And Sean was like, Edwin, we're on the PowerPoint. And I was like, what? And we like looked up and we're like, it was one of those like sporting moments being on the Jumbotron. But they said, oh, you know, two of Victor's classmates, two of Victor's friends are visiting us today. We want to honor them. We want to, you know, welcome them. And so we went through this period of time in a church, in a very, very large church, where everybody got up from their seats. And for like 30 minutes, they came around. Every single member came in. They gave us a hug. And, you know, there's like this little Korean guy, this very big, I think, Irish guy. And we were standing there just getting hugs from all these people. And Victor was like, this is what my church is like. And through that, we were like, wow, this is so different. But there's a beauty in this. You know, we're so different, but we are the same. They called us brother. They called us family. You know, they embraced us. Why? Because they just saw us as other people who believe in Jesus Christ. And people who can, you know, understand their terminology when they talk about the Spirit, when they talk about Jesus Christ, when they talk about their God in heaven. And so though there are many, many things, visible things, tangible things that make us different, they could spot the thing that makes us the same. And I think that's what a Christian really is. That despite all the differences that you can see, that your eyes, that your heart, that your spirit is tuned to see the things that make us the same. That we have Christ inside of us. And so one of the problems that they were struggling with in the Corinth church is that they were struggling with all these differences. The differences in background, the differences in the gifts. People were holding other gifts in high regard. They were using the gifts that were given to the Spirit to rank themselves, to almost kind of diminish others, to raise themselves up. They had all kinds of problems with this idea of unity because of the diversity in the gifts that were being given. And the thing that Paul says is, yeah, there are different types of gifts. You know, one person might be called to be a prophet. One person might be called to, you know, have the gift of tongues. These are different gifts, and you can't really equate them to be the same thing. But the thing that he reminds them of, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And that is something that we need to see. Not just the gift, not just the talent, not just the way that you were made, but the spirit behind us, the spirit inside of us that unites all of us. That is something that should be bringing the church together. We see a world out there that is so fragmented, that is so broken, that wants to stand, you know, based on political lines, that wants to stand based on ethnic lines, based on economic lines. If the church of God, inside of our walls, among our own people, among believers, we do that to ourselves inside of the church, then what chance do we have to affect the world outside? What chance do we have to bring unity outside of our walls if that's existing inside of our walls individually, among people groups inside of our churches? It is a reminder that we need to take very seriously, that we need to see the Spirit of God existing and residing inside of each and every one of us, to not highlight the difference, to not just make, not highlight the difference in a negative way, but to appreciate the difference that's found in the brothers and sisters in our churches. That is something that is part of the responsibility of a mature believer. There are different kinds of service, different things that people do, different ways in which people serve the church, outward things, things that people can see. But the same Lord who is Lord over the service, who is the one who commands the service, whom we obey. You see, that is the difference between the way the world sees things and the way that the believer should see things. That's the difference between the way that the world works. In companies, you can see different services, different works that are being done, but there's nothing that really unites them under the same goal, except for, you know, just personal prosperity or company health. But in the church of God, we have to know that we serve the same Lord, that we are under the same boss in a certain way. And though we serve our church in different ways, though we are coming from different and diverse backgrounds, we have different ways in which we think things should be done, we have to understand that we are all under the command of the Lord, that we all serve the same master. That is something that should unite us. One of the illustrations that I wanted to bring up in association with this is just something that my sister and I that we kind of experienced together. My sister is a year older than me, and she's not very much into watching sports. I'm like a sports fanatic. I'll watch anything that is sports related. And so while we were growing up, we fought a lot because she wanted to watch certain TV programs, but I wanted to watch sports. And one of those days, I remember that we were in the living room together, and for some reason, she was in a really good mood. And though she wanted to watch something, she ended up watching sports with me that day. And it was kind of nice because usually when I turn on the sports, my sister will kind of just disappear. Like, oh, I have no interest. I don't care about this. But she sat there next to me and we just watched some football together. And it was one of the kind of first times that she was kind of interested in watching football. She was asking me a lot of questions. I was teaching her like what things meant. And, you know, it was a nice bonding moment for us. But there was a moment in that game that really kind of caught my attention. I remember it. It's because in the football game, there was something called the screen play. And I don't know if you're familiar with football. I don't know if you follow football at all. But a screen play is a very simple play in which the quarterback doesn't throw the ball very far. He just throws it kind of close to a positional player called a running back. And usually they'll throw it to them. And then at that moment, they'll throw it a short distance. They don't throw it forward even. Sometimes they'll throw it sideways. Sometimes they even throw it a little bit backwards. But then the job of the team at that point is to run out in front of that player and to start blocking for the player. And I remember that we were sitting there and we watched a play and it was a screen play. And my sister looked at that and she said, "That's so awesome. Like, I love seeing that." And I was like, "What?" You know, I didn't understand what was so great about it. But she was like, "Just look at how those people are running in front just to block for that one guy. You know, that they're all like moving together." She was like, she was so intrigued by as soon as the snap, the football was hiked to the quarterback, that everyone was moving in unison. And they created this blocking lane that they were like protecting basically the VIP who was the running back. And she was looking at that, and I could tell that she was just, you know, she was really impressed by it, and not just on a sporting level. And she was looking at that, and then she muttered under her breath, "That's what the church should be like." And I was like, "What? What? We're watching football." But she was like, no, but that's like what the church should be like. You know, we should like support each other that way, and like help each other that way. Like, don't you think that that's such a like beautiful image, like a beautiful like example of what church is like? And I was just like happy, like, oh, first down. You know, I was just thinking in football terms. But my sister was thinking in deeper levels. And she was like, wow, you know, like these big guys running ahead and trying to protect that guy. You know, like these people who are good at catching the ball. But instead of using that moment to catch the ball or to do something for themselves, they're blocking. They're locking down the person in front of them. And she said, that's the church. That's what the church is supposed to be like. And I was not thinking in that way, but it struck my heart. My sister will still bring up screenplays. Anytime she sees a screenplay in football when I'm watching it, she will bring it up. And she'll always note it. She'll always see it. And she goes, that's a vision of the church. That's an image of the church. That there are big guys, there are small guys. There are fast guys, there are good at people who are good at running, people who are good at catching, people who are good at throwing. But in that moment of that play, they put all of their diversity together for one goal, for one purpose, to reach that end zone. And they're willing to put their lives on, not lives, but they're willing to put their bodies on the line. You know, and that person that's running with the ball, they can't get there by themselves. They need the people, everyone around them, to be on the same page. And there's no offensive lineman that goes, oh, that play didn't work because I was the one that should be running the ball. Everybody knows their role. They know what they're gifted with. They know what their talents are. They know what they're supposed to do to make it work. And so there's nothing about that where you have, there's no football team where you have 11 running backs, 11 quarterbacks, 11 wide receivers, 11 offensive linemen. It doesn't work that way. But they use their diversity, the things that they were gifted with, the things that they have true talent with, and they put it all together for the purpose of scoring a touchdown, purpose of winning a game. And my sister in that moment, I think she had like a moment of clarity. Maybe the Spirit spoke to her. But she said, that's the church. And that's the sort of church that I want to attend. That's the sort of ministry that I want to be a part of. That we can celebrate the diversity inside each and every one of us, but understand that we're on the same team. Understand that we're working for the same things. There are different kinds of service. There are different kinds of roles. There are different kinds of jobs to be done. But the same Lord who commands all of those things. There are different kinds of working. But here, now you can't help but see it because they use all these universal words. They use these inclusive words. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. You see, that is where we can find the unity despite the diversity that's around us. That there is the same God at work inside of each and every one of us. And though we may be placed in different areas, though we may have different specialties, though we may be in nursery school or youth group or in adult ministry, whatever jobs that you find yourselves in, whatever family backgrounds you have, whatever church background that you grew up with, that understand that there are differences in the way things work, in the way that things seem, in the way things play out, but that God is the one that is behind all of it and is in everyone. Maybe when the church starts taking these words seriously, then maybe we can model for this world what unity is in the face of diversity. Though we are different, that we are the same, that we have the same goals, that we have the same Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, forgive us for having perspectives that were selfish in so many ways. That through our mistakes, through some of the incorrect perspectives that we've had in the past, may we learn, may we grow, may we mature. These are problems that your church has faced many, many years ago, but we confess that we still struggle with it. As much as we try to break differences by having ethnic churches or trying to meet with the same type of people, Lord, we still struggle with unity. We still struggle with how to celebrate and highlight diversity, how to use these things for the glory of your kingdom. Lord, would you correct us? Would you rebuke us if we need rebuke? Would you train us and teach us what is right? Help us, God, to start really becoming your people, to become like salt and light in this generation that so desperately needs it, that is so confused about diversity and difference. May we as your church and may we as individuals begin to model what is right, what is proper in your eyes. We thank you, God. We trust in you, the work that you're doing in us. Give us opportunities, God, this week, tangible ones, ones that we cannot deny, to display this in our workplaces, among our neighbors, with our friends, in our churches. Give us a chance to be able to put our action behind some of the things that we learn inside of our heads. Lord, would you bless us and challenge us with that this week? We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.